First Kings, chapter number 3. I'll go ahead and let you stay seated. But we're going to read the first 13 verses of the chapter. Again, First Kings, chapter number 3, beginning in verse number 1, it says, "And Solomon made affinity with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David until he had made an end of the building of his own house and the house of the Lord and the wall of Jerusalem round about. Only the people sacrificed in high places because there was no house built unto the name of the Lord until those days. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father, only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. In Gibeon the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, Ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said, Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he had walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee, and thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. And I am but a little child, I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?" And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, "Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked thy life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we can have a copy of the Word of God.
Amen.
We thank you that you've given us the indwelling presence of the Holy Ghost to help us understand the Word of God. And Lord, I pray that all of our hearts and minds would be open to the truths of the Bible, not just the truths that are expounded here tonight, but Lord, on a daily basis, as we read and study our Bibles, may we be prone to live by your principles rather than by our own wishes, our own desires, and our own feelings. God, may you help us to be the types of believers you want us to be, steadfast in the things of Christ, and Lord, not wavering, not unsure of what you want us to do here on this earth, but confident that you want us to glorify you by winning the sinner and discipling the saved and perfecting the saints and contending for the scriptures. And Lord, may we just be wholeheartedly given over to those tasks, that you might do a great work in our life, that you might do a great work in our church, that you might set this nation afire with revival. Lord, bless your word as it goes forth tonight. May we again see truths in this particular chapter about the subject of salvation. May they stir us up to get out there and to attempt to impart the wisdom of the Word of God unto those that we come in contact with. Lord, as we even approach April 1st, when we begin again going out and canvassing this area with gospel tracts, stir us up even at this time to eagerly anticipate that date where we can get out, knock on doors and tell sinners about Jesus Christ. Lord, if there's a sinner here tonight that's not saved, speak to their heart.
Amen.
Help them to trust Christ. Lord, use me May I be a vessel unto honor, I pray tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Previously in this series of messages on salvation, we looked at the man Jephthah, and he's recorded for us in the book of Judges in chapter 11. And I entitled my message last week, "You Will Need His Help One Day." And we looked at Jephthah and who he was. He was a man that was born under very unique circumstances. His father was Gibeon, but his mother was a harlot. And that was not a norm back then, nor is it a norm today, but yet that's how Jephthah was brought into this world, under very unique circumstances. He was treated by his brethren in a very uncompassionate manner. They thrust him from his house and from his city. And so he had to go and live amongst mean men, vain men, men that were doing nothing godly or righteous, but just I liken them unto gangsters myself. And so that's how Jephthah was treated. He was cast out, so he went and he joined the gang because that's somewhere where he fitted in. And yet his brethren and the leaders of his community one day realized they needed his help. Ammon had come up against them, and I guess they had no fearless leader of their own, and yet they knew Jephthah was a mighty man of valor, and so they went knocking on his door requesting his help. And he says, "Why do you come ask me for help now that you're in distress, when before you didn't want to have anything to do with me?" And we saw in those ways Jephthah is very similar to the Lord Jesus Christ, because he too was born under unique circumstances. Now the circumstances under which Jesus was brought into this world are much different than that of Jephthah, but they were just as unique in that he was born of a virgin. He also was not received by his own, by the Jews. And yet, those same individuals that rejected him one day at the great white throne judgment are going to find that they need his help. But it's going to be too late then. And likewise, there are people today in our world that have turned from the Lord Jesus Christ. They have turned from the preaching of the Word of God. And if they don't repent, one day they're going to need the Lord's help, and it's not going to be there for them.
Right.
If you need to be saved, it's your time in this life where you need to trust Christ.
Right.
Because once you die, there's no second opportunity. But the message tonight is surrounding the subject of wisdom. And I want to examine three different truths about wisdom, and then at the end of the message we'll take and apply those truths to the subject of salvation. Here in this chapter, Solomon is in fellowship with God, and God appears to him, it says, in a dream by night, and said to him, "What? Ask what I shall give thee. Ask what I shall give thee." In other words, what do you want from me, Solomon? You know, this portion of Scripture is very interesting to most of us. You know, maybe that's because, you know, even from a little child, you know, we're told jokes about genies and bottles and how they grant you three wishes. And we laughed at those jokes that people told us. I don't know, Abigail's looking at me funny. Maybe she's never heard a genie joke. But so whenever I was a kid, everybody was always telling a joke about a genie popping out of a bottle and different. And a matter of fact, if I could remember one of those jokes, I might share it with you now. But I'm not very good at remembering jokes. Or maybe it's just because oftentimes we sit around and ask each other and ponder, you know, what would we ask for if we could ask for anything or even ask for three things? I don't know why, but genies seem to always give you three wishes. I mean, and so we have fun with that, thinking about what we would do if we were presented with that kind of an opportunity. But for most of us, that is just fantasy, because it's never actually going to happen to us. But it did happen to Solomon. The Lord came to him and said, "You ask for whatever you want, Solomon." And I'm assuming that then God was going to give it to him. You know why that kind of opportunity would never be presented to most of us? Because God knows we wouldn't answer like Solomon.
Right.
Do you think God would have asked Solomon this question had he responded differently? No, I doubt it. You see, God knew he could entrust Solomon. He knew he could ask this question and he would get an appropriate response. The Bible here highlights for us what most men would have asked for. They would have asked for long life, health. They would have asked for wealth or riches. And some would even have asked that God take the lives of their enemies. They would have sought vengeance. These are desires of many, wants of some. But Solomon did not ask for a want. He asked for a need. He says in verse number 7, "And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father." God had put Solomon in the place of David, and now he was to rule and to reign and to judge over the people of Israel. And he knew that because of his position as king, he was going to need some assistance. He was going to need help because he realized that this was a tremendous responsibility. And so he says to the Lord, "I am but a little child. I know not how to go out and come in." You know, Solomon here was recognizing his need. His need for an understanding that he simply didn't possess of his own. He said to the Lord in verse number 8, "And thy servant is in the midst of thy people." And notice, yes, he was a leader, but as a leader, he saw himself as a servant.
That's right. Amen.
And he knew that his responsibility to the people was to be to serve them. He knew that they were going to be coming to him with difficult questions that they couldn't solve on their own. And you know what? Above all things, he wanted to be able to give them a righteous answer. I don't know how many people come up to you and ask you spiritual questions or questions in regards to life, but from time to time that happens to me as a pastor. And you know what? Sometimes I just wish with all my heart God would give me the answer to give to them because I don't know. And Solomon, maybe he had faced questions that he didn't know how to answer. And so he said, "Lord, give me understanding. I'm just a little child. I'm just a servant. You've made me ruler over this great people, this people that cannot be numbered. How am I going to sit in judgment over their affairs if you don't give me wisdom?" So rather than using his wish on something carnal, he asked for wisdom. So here's the first thing I want us to understand about wisdom, and that is we have a need for it. All of us, not just Solomon. Perhaps his need was greater than most because he had a greater responsibility. But you know, every one of us are in need of wisdom.
Amen.
Look with me at the book of Proverbs, chapter 8. I turn to these chapters, it seems to me, a lot, so I'll not belabor this particular point, but I do want to highlight some things again because I think most of us know probably by now that the theme of the book of Proverbs is wisdom, and so it's not surprising that that subject is talked about so often. I think it is the primary theme of chapters 8 and 9. Chapter 8, verse 1, one of my all-time favorite verses, says, "Doth not wisdom cry?" And it's a rhetorical question. The answer is insinuated, and the answer is yes. Wisdom cries. Wisdom puts forth her voice, the verse says. Wisdom stands in the top of high places. It stands in the places of the paths. In verse 3, wisdom cries at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. This is wisdom, crying out unto men. Highlighting for us that wisdom is attainable for each and every one of us. Verse number 6 says, hear. I mean, wisdom's crying out in the world. Wisdom's crying forth from this pulpit. Wisdom, biblical wisdom, is crying forth on the radio. Maybe even in a small degree on the television. And God says, hear. Hear. He says in verse number 10, receive my instruction. Wisdom is something that all of us need. But wisdom is also something that is attainable for every one of us. It's not hidden in a tomb, in a cavern. You don't have to go discover it. God has put it on display. It's found in the Word of God. And boy, if we really believe what this book says about itself, we will treasure it.
That's right.
Because the Bible says that the truths that are found herein are more valuable than gold or silver. They're more precious than rubies.
Right.
I've given the illustration before. What if you knew every time you opened up your Bible you'd find a $100 bill? How often would you open up your Bible?
Think about that.
I'll guarantee it'd be more than once a day. When you're ready to buy a new car, you'd probably open it 257 times. Probably more than that. That's if your car costs $25,000. Well, God says that what's found in this book is more valuable than a $100 bill. So how often should we dig in our Bibles in search of the truths that God wants to reveal to us? Again, wisdom is something we all need, and wisdom is something that is attainable for every single one of us. You know, chapter number 9, again, the theme is wisdom, but there's one difference between chapter 9 and chapter number 8, and that is that there is a comparison that's given. And perhaps chapter 9 demonstrates to us why it is that some people never seem to grasp wisdom, and that's because they're searching in the wrong place. They're listening to the wrong voice, because in this particular chapter, the comparison is between wisdom and foolishness. Wisdom and foolishness, and both of them are vying for man's attention. Both of them are crying out. God is saying, listen to me. And foolishness, through the voice of the strange woman, is saying, no, listen to me. And too many listen to the voice of the strange woman. Too many people listen to foolishness rather than the Lord. Ahab, whenever he sought discernment and direction, did he go to the prophet of God? He went to the false prophets. And what are the false prophets telling him to do? Go and fight the battle, you're going to get the victory. And you know, I'm sure that the false prophets had given him poor advice in the past. And I'm sure that there were consequences for that poor advice. But you know what? He just kept coming back to that same place. Kept coming back to those false prophets to find wisdom, direction, and discernment. How foolish. And he wouldn't listen to the man of God. Why? Because the man of God told him the truth, and he didn't like the truth. King Saul, even whenever he could not hear the voice of God, and he needed direction and discernment, where did he go? To find an answer to a witch. I mean, where do people go today when they have answers? They seem to go everywhere but the Word of God. And they wonder why their lives are such a mess. I guess it shouldn't surprise me, but it always surprises me when people's lives are a mess. They never listen to someone who tries to express to them biblical truths that could turn their lives around. Matthew 7:7 says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. James 1:5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and abradeth not. He's not going to rebuke you if you come to him and you ask for wisdom. Can I say this? In a sense then, every one of us have been asked the same question of God that Solomon was. In essence, if we'll ask for the right thing, if we'll say, God, I want wisdom, God says, I'll give it to you. If you want to understand the Bible, you will understand the Bible if you say that in all sincerity. If you, with a sincere heart, want to know the Bible so that you can obey it, God will surely help you to understand it. So again, first, wisdom is something we all need. Wisdom is something also that is easily attainable for every single one of us. And then look back at 1 Kings chapter 10. 1 Kings chapter 10. Let me just read a few of the verses found here in this chapter. Verse number 1, it says, And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, and with camels that bear spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him all that was in her heart. Here she had heard, notice that, she had heard about Solomon and how wise he was and how magnificent his kingdom was. And so she piled on her cart spices and gold to bring in exchange to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And it says in verse 3, And Solomon told her all her questions, and there was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. It took her breath away. And she said to the king, It was a true report that I heard in my land of thine acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes have seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. When she came and she saw Solomon's wisdom firsthand, she believed. She suspected that what she had heard was true. And as a result, she traveled with this multitudes of people to hear Solomon firsthand. And when she did, she said, everything that I've heard concerning this man is true. And notice it also says in verse number 8 and 9, Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants which stand continually. Solomon's servants, they were happy. They were full of joy. And again, that was just simply one of the consequences of having a leader who was filled with the wisdom of God. They were happy. Notice in the book of Matthew, if you would as well, in chapter 12, this is a New Testament commentary on what happened there with the Queen of Sheba. Matthew chapter 12, in verse 38, it says, And certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. We want to see some kind of sign. But he answered and said of them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given it, but that sign of the prophet Jonas. And again, he's referring to his death, burial, and resurrection. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation, and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. When Jonah, this half-hearted, hard-hearted prophet, went into Nineveh, preaching one simple message, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown, they repented. There was no signs, no miracles, just one simple message preached over and over again. And they repented. And yet here, the people that were alive during Jesus' earthly ministry were seeing all kinds of signs, all kinds of miracles, all kinds of things, and they never repented. And the Lord says the men of Nineveh are going to rise up against this generation. But then notice verse 42. And the queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. We just let that truth sink in for a moment. This woman, what did she do? She went in search of wisdom. And she was rewarded for it. When she went in search of wisdom, she found it. I don't know how far it is that she traveled, but I get the impression that it was a pretty good distance. It wasn't within the land of Canaan. She went in search of wisdom. Because it wasn't to be found wherever she was. There were no scrolls. There was no Bible. There was no man like Solomon. So she went to where Solomon was. And you know, the Queen of Sheba is probably sitting in heaven right now shaking her head at all the Americans who could be in Bible-believing churches and instead they're watching television. Or surfing the internet. Or playing softball. And when the judgment day comes, and those people begin to offer up their excuses to God, He's going to bring the Queen of Sheba out and say, you know what, I traveled such and such a distance to hear the wisdom of Solomon. You wouldn't travel 5 minutes to hear the preached Word of God. And that's going to be a testimony against many people. But they didn't go in search of wisdom. Mm-hmm. Wisdom is something we all need. It is easily accessible. But you know what the problem is? Most people simply do not seek it.
Right.
And that's a shame.
Yes.
And not just lost people either.
Right.
There's a good amount of saved people that have no desire to understand the truths of the Word of God. And it's demonstrated by their lackadaisical approach to church attendance.
Yeah, right.
And then when their lives are a mess, do they blame it on the fact that they did not seek wisdom, true wisdom from the Word of God? No. They blame it on something else. Mm-hmm. Wisdom. We all need it. It's easily accessible. We just need to seek it. I've often heard it said that Jesus is wisdom personified.
Amen.
In other words, if wisdom were a person, it would be Jesus.
Right.
Matter of fact, Proverbs chapter 8, the latter half of that verse appears to be referring to Jesus Christ, though the immediate context is wisdom. It says that wisdom was there in the beginnings when God created the foundations of the earth. Well, that's Jesus Christ as well. He could be called wisdom personified. And if that's true, do you see your need for Christ? Wisdom is something that we all need. Christ as well is something that every one of us need. Wisdom is attainable to each and every one of us. It cries out on the streets. Likewise, Jesus is easily attainable. He's calling out to sinners to come. But are they listening? Multitudes are not. And the Queen of Sheba, she sought after the wisdom of Solomon. Have you sought after Christ? Have you sought Him? By reading your Bible. By attending a Bible-believing church. By reading tracts and other literature produced by Bible-believing ministries and churches. By speaking with a pastor of a Bible-believing church. You know, if you'll see your need for Christ, for wisdom, if you'll listen to what He has to say, seek Him and call upon Him, you can be saved. And it's rather simplistic, but then I think you'll find yourself as happy as Solomon's servants. I don't know about you, but I have the utmost confidence in the Bible.
Right.
In the Word of God. Because I've seen the type of change that can take place.
Yes, sir. Amen.
When you put these principles into practice. This is not the mere wisdom of men. This is the wisdom of God right here. Right here, folks. This is God's wisdom.
Right.
And He's given it to us. And He says wisdom is right here for anybody who'll ask. For anybody who'll seek. Will you seek? Will you seek? Those that die unsaved, they're never going to be able to point the finger at God.
Yes, sir.
And said, I never had an opportunity. I never had an opportunity. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. The heavens declare the glory of God.
Yeah.
And the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech. They are crying out. The creation is saying, hey, look,
yep,
there's a God.
Amen. That's right. Yes, sir.
And the man that looks and says, there is a God. I can tell. And I'm going to go in search of Him. That man will find Him.
Because
all he really has to do is turn around. And God's been on his tail the whole time. Trying to win him unto himself. But the person that looks and says, there's no God, he's not going to find God. And so if that's you, I encourage you to take a different route. And instead go in search of the Lord. He's searching for you. Amen. Wisdom and the Lord Jesus Christ are things we need. They're both easily attainable if you'll just seek after Him. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Thy Word. Again, thank You for the wisdom that is found in it. And Lord, I pray that the Holy Ghost would be our teacher, that we would turn to the Bible to know what You have to say in regards to every subject. And may the Spirit of God lead us. And Lord, as we put biblical principles into practice in our life, may we discover how joyous life can really be. Lord, if there's one here tonight that's not saved, draw them unto Thyself, that they could be birthed into Thy family. And Lord, help us to expound these truths to others that we come in contact with, whether it's people we work with, maybe it's our family members or friends. Lord, help us to be able to encourage them to seek after Christ, to seek after the wisdom of the Word of God. And may some accept that exhortation. May they look for the Lord and be found of Him. So God, take the message tonight. Use it in the lives of Your people. Use it for Thy glory, I ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.